Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
We are going to leap into a sermon series on some of the vineyard's distinctives or values or a family story. Can you tell I've been away on holiday? You never know what's going to happen. We are not the only church movement in the world, and we're not the best church movement in the world, but we are one of them, and we have certain distinctives, things that make us us. So I thought it would be fun over the next kind of 5 weeks to start talking about just a few of them. It'll be new for some of us, as we're just like, what on earth is the Vineyard? Or I thought that it was just this church that's the Vineyard. Actually, there's probably about 1,500 vineyards around the world in some very interesting places, not just Southern California, although there are a few there as well. So we're just going to take a few weeks, and for some it'll be new, for some it'll be a wonderful refresher. Why are we doing it? Well, as I said, I have been away on a short holiday there. We just spent time with family, Harmony's side of the family. Later on in August, we're going to go spend some time with my side of the family. We know how to party. I know that's what you're thinking. Holidaying with family twice in one summer. It's great. And you know, one of the things that I was thinking about as we spent time with extended family is how good it is to know and go over your family story and remember who you are and where you came from. And what we're called to. And it might be news to us, but families are called to things. And maybe you've never thought of that way, but it would be an interesting way to start thinking, what is our family legacy? You might be thinking, well, I have a lot of negative legacy in my family. And it's like, well, we can think about it that way, but we can also see what is on our family that I have access to and is good. What can I reframe, and what is God redeeming through my life that's going to be a different story for the family coming after me? What is on and around my family? What is my family story? What is my family legacy? What do I have access to? What do I want to leave behind? What do I want to see God change and make different? It's really important as we think about that as part of our kind of whatever family you come from. It's really important to think about that in terms of churches. See, churches are groups of families together, and we're united as a family, and we have a legacy locally. And then we're part of a family of churches called the Vineyard. So it's interesting to think about what's our family story, what do we carry, what do we have access to because of what God has done before, and what is he inviting us into now. So we're calling it the radical middle and vineyard distinctives. That little phrase, the radical middle, is a vineyard phrase in and of itself. During the time when the Vineyard began, late 70s and early 80s, it became clear what God was doing with us as a movement is to walk in that difficult and radical middle ground that is so often elusive. It is, if we're honest, really easy. It's a lot easier in every area of life to take on one side or the other and see things in black and white. We wouldn't know anything about that in this city, would we? Right, it's easier to be on one team or the other, okay? And in the world of faith and church, that's no different. But for better or for worse, and part of the Vineyard story is we've always tried to live in the tension of the radical middle. And that's why people always want to get out of that radical middle, is because you just have to hold a lot of different things in tension. And so what kind of things am I talking about? Well, we'll talk through it over the next bunch of weeks, but here's a couple. We insist in the Vineyard on obedience to the Word of God and teaching and preaching, and we love it, and we love that space, but we also leave loads of room for the Spirit of God to move and bless and empower. We try and hold those things in a radical middle and radical tension. We try and reach for the radical welcome of anyone and everyone who might walk through these doors or might walk through the doors of our life and issue them the unreserved welcome of Jesus, but we also hold that intention with the Lordship of Jesus, and we do all we can to pursue radical holiness before the Lord. We believe that the kingdom of God is already here and present in our midst, and we believe that it is not yet here in fullness. And we hold those things in tension, and many, many others. We're a movement that insists on reaching for all that we see in the scriptures and the Spirit of God leads us into. And often in the course of our history, and even live and local right here today, it brings us into the stormy, radical middle, where there's risk and criticism from both sides. That's what's wonderful about being in the middle, right? Is you just take it from both sides. But as we've journeyed this as a family of churches, we've just found the radical middle to be a place of balance, real power. We found the presence of Jesus there, and we've found our vocation there. So, how I wanted to do this in terms of talking about some Vineyard distinctives was to use some phrases that we have as a movement that over the course of the years have just really caught our attention and our hearts. If you think about your own family or maybe like your friendship group that you did uni or uni age with, and you probably have from some phrases that only make sense to you and your friendship group or you and your family. These little phrases, all you have to do is, utter one of these little phrases to your family, and they know exactly what you're talking about, but everyone else is clueless because they're not in on all that stuff. Well, the Vineyard's a family, and we have, like, family sayings. We have these phrases that we repeat over and over that capture something about who we are and whose we are, these little short sayings that deliver big meaning. John Wimber, there he is right there. Long story. But John Wimber, one of the founding members of the Vineyard Movement, dearly loved, beloved around the world, he just was famous for lots of things. But one of the things people loved about him was he's really down to earth, not a lot of hype, and just really funny and compelling. And he just had this non-hype, non-religious way about talking about following Jesus. And it just endeared him to people around the world. And over the years, the Vineyard just kept using his little snippets, his little phrases, and it's become kind of like a shorthand. Things like, everybody gets to play, which, don't worry, we'll unpack some of these later. We're worshipers of God and rescuers of men and women. Remember the poor. Doing the stuff. I'm just a fat saxophone player trying to get to heaven. That's what he would say all the time. He was trying to burst the celebrity. I'm an apostle. I'm a big man of God. All this. He would just say, no, I'm just a fat saxophone player trying to get to heaven. Everything is grace. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. We're naturally supernatural. And many, many more. So we're going to take a few of those phrases and just unpack them over the next 5 weeks, so be excited. And we may even let John Wimber loose here this morning and let him talk to you a little bit about what happens on Mother's Day 1980. So, cryptic references, I know, all will be explained. So the one I'm going to start with today is actually a prayer. It's a prayer. It's not unique to the Vineyard. The Vineyard doesn't own it. The Vineyard didn't invent it, but it's one that you hear all the time in the Vineyard. In fact, it was prayed out this morning. It's simple. It's an ancient prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's an incredibly short prayer. And I think something that we should pray multiple times per day. And the prayer is, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Most Sundays, you hear that prayer prayed in our church and in churches around the globe. I'm starting with this one because it really links into, if you can remember it back in ancient history, I think it was kind of June time when we did a little mini-series on the Holy Spirit. And we did that just after finishing the Gospel of Luke. And so I'm more going to give a talk today rather than preach through the scriptures. Kind of from a text. And if that disappoints you, you can go onto our website and you can hear me preaching through the Gospel of Luke for like 3 years. So, and then we'll do some other stuff in September that we'll be preaching through books of the Bible. So if that causes you heart palpitations, don't worry, we'll be okay. And just think of this talk today as an extension of our Holy Spirit series. And we're just going to, this little prayer for me just encapsulates a huge Vineyard value. If we're going to understand what it means to be part of the Vineyard, we have to understand what this little prayer carries. And the Vineyard's going to seem strange unless we get this, that we regularly invite and expect the Holy Spirit to be in our midst and to do things, to like break in, that that's actually possible. And that prayer, come Holy Spirit, is just encapsulates that so much. So over the years, I've gotten loads of questions on why on earth we pray this prayer. Are we even allowed to pray this prayer? We've been criticized as a church for praying this prayer. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about how it fits into the story of the church and the vineyard story. And my opinion is we're going to talk about why we can't afford not to pray it and how it might change our lives and the lives of those around us if we commit ourselves to praying it. And then we're going to pray it, which would be great. So, come Holy Spirit, an ancient prayer. As I said earlier, this prayer doesn't belong to the vineyard. It belongs to all Christians. The church has been praying this prayer and singing this in the form of hymns and liturgy for a very long time. As far as I could find, the 9th century, not the 19th, but the 9th century, was one of the first times it appears as a hymn and a liturgy of the church. Veni Creator Spiritus, or Come Creator Spirit, is an ancient liturgy and an ancient prayer. Here's just the first bit of it. Come Holy Spirit, Creator, come. From your bright heavenly throne, come, take possession of our souls and make them all your own. In Catholic and Anglican contexts, that's sung during Pentecost, the season of the church year, where we remember that the Holy Spirit comes upon his church in power. In the Catholic tradition, it's sung and prayed as the cardinals go to the Sistine Chapel to elect a new pope. They pray and they sing, come Holy Spirit. It's also used when a bishop is consecrated. Anglicans have sung and prayed this for a long, long time. A variation of this prayer appears in the Book of Common Prayer, dated 1662. Again, they would sing this prayer when priests and bishops are consecrated. Not to be outdone, the Reformers also used this prayer in hymn. Martin Luther, in 1524, adapted it and had this prayer for Lutherans to pray and sing, Come Gott, Schöpfer, Heiliger Geist. Come God, Creator, Holy Ghost. These are but a few examples of how the church, broad, even up to this day, has prayed and sung and used this prayer. John Wimber didn't make up this prayer. I didn't make up this prayer. The Vineyard doesn't own this prayer. We're just fitting in with how the church through the ages has invited the Holy Spirit to be present in and with us, to set us afire with the love of God, and to send us out in the name of Jesus and in his power. It belongs to everybody. Just to remind us from our Holy Spirit series, here's a couple of things. If you're like, what on earth is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the experienced reality of God, God's personal presence. One of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant age is to manifest the presence of God, to give indications that make the presence of God known. Because the Holy Spirit is fully God and shares all the attributes of God, his influence will be to bring a godlike character or atmosphere to the situations in which he is active. It's one of the Holy Spirit does an awful lot, but this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. He comes and breaks in and manifests the presence of the living God with us in ways that we can tangibly discern at times. Okay, well, how did this prayer get to be part of the Vineyard story? Well, in order to talk about that, we have to talk about Mother's Day 1980. It's actually a really important part of our family story. In the very early days of the Vineyard movement, John Wimber was leading his church in Southern California, and he had invited a young man called Lonnie Frisbee. It was the hippie time, late 70s, Lonnie Frisbee, to teach at their evening service. Lonnie was a hippie who was part of what was known as the Jesus People movement in the late 60s, early 70s in Southern California. And John Wimber's church was filled with young people, and they gathered to worship as usual that night. And Lonnie got up to speak, and at the conclusion of his message said, "The church has been offending the Holy Spirit for some time, but he's getting over it. Come Holy Spirit." And, well, he did. And As they say, all heaven broke loose. And rather than me tell you about it, I am going to let John Wimber tell you about it. So this video is John Wimber telling the story. It's a short snippet of it. It's actually 10 minutes long. Gives you a bit more context. But he's talking about he's just invited this guy, Lonnie Frisbee, to preach. And just with the video, it's from 1984. So, you know, it'll be like a flashback for some of us to what 1984 was like. But you'll get to experience John Wimber, the early days of the Vineyard, and what happened on Mother's Day 1980. And I'm hoping it goes.
A habit of just telling any old young man to preach in my church. And I said, and particularly that young man, because I heard he was a little strange. And I said, Lord, you want me to have him preach? And the Lord said very clearly to me, yes. So I went up to him and I said, Lonnie, would you like to preach tonight at my church? He said, oh, yeah, I've been waiting for the chance. I thought, oh, no. I'm telling you, I died 1,000 deaths all afternoon. All afternoon, I agonized. I said, oh, God, you got me into it again. You got me into a mess. He's going to mess my church up. And the Lord said, when did it become your church? I said, oh, that's right, that's right, okay. So I went to church that night, and I we worshiped extra long. I found a lot of announcements that needed to be made. But and as long as I stretched it, it was still time. And so he's sitting there all bright and alert like a kid at his birthday party. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, he looks harmless enough. All right, come on up. So he comes up and he starts speaking. And I sit down over to the side. And I'm listening to him. And it's great. You know, I mean, I'm thinking, what was I worried about? He goes, funny. He's giving his testimony and his pathos in it. You know, and time you weep a little bit. And you salute a couple times. And he's telling you some great verses. And you're laughing. And just having a wonderful time. I'm thinking, what was I worried about? This is great. You know, God, you're so good. And then he does the weirdest thing I've ever even heard of. Everything's going good, you know, all of a sudden he stops and he says, well, that's it. He said, you know, the church has been offending the Holy Spirit a long time, and he's quenched, but he's getting over it. And we're going to invite him to come and minister now. Come, Holy Spirit, and whammo! The Spirit of God comes. And people start fighting. Well, first of all, he says, everybody 25 years and under, come forward. Well, in our church, that's everybody. You know, they're all coming up there. And there's hundreds of them up all crowded around the stage. And he says, come, Holy Spirit. And the next thing I know, people are falling and bouncing and they're laying on the floor and they're talking like turkey. And one kid, he falls, and the microphone falls with him, you know, and it's laying right in front of his face. And he's speaking in tongues, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about 2 minutes. I'm talking about 45 minutes he's talking through that microphone. And we're wading through bodies, you know, trying to get over to him. And we can't get the microphone off, and we can't get to him. And Lonnie is going like a banshee. You know, he's running through the crowd and raising his hands. And, you know, and I'm thinking he's pushing people over. He's knocking them down. But he's not even touching them. He's walking by them, and they're going wham, wham, you know, and falling everywhere. And I'm thinking, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, get me out of here. And people are grabbing their Bibles and going, not me. And they're going out the door. Some of them I never have seen. That was 4 years ago, you know, that they went out the door. Well, I want to tell you something. When it finally stopped, man, did I get it, you know. I started, all the staff was upset and uptight. You know, they didn't tell you the half of it. When Sam was mentioning that earlier today, he didn't tell you the whole story. Everybody was pretty uptight. Well, I went home, and I tried to be civil, you know, I was polite, well, thank you very much, and for ministering. So, I get home, you know, and I try to go to sleep. I can't sleep. I get up, and I go from Genesis to Revelation, you know, and I'm looking for Holy Spirit, come, you know. Wham, wham, you know. You know. It's not in the book, man.
There you go. You can watch the rest of that on YouTube, and he talks a bit more about it and tells the story, and it is really funny. But But it was, this Holy Spirit came in power, and it was like something out of the book of Acts, and people falling under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will go on to say, if we had time to watch it, that he was up all night, and he was just, Lord, is this you? And he was searching the scriptures, and then he began to search the history of revivals, the revivals of the Wesleys, and the Cane Ridge revival, and all these different revivals, and began to see, okay, well, there's some phenomenon there. But it actually culminated early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. Imagine somebody calling you at 6 o'clock in the morning. His friend called him and said, I've been up all night praying too. You need to know that this is the Lord. This is the Lord. And they began to just embrace what the Holy Spirit was doing. And after that gathering and that empowering moment, young people from their church began to pour out onto the streets. And in a 3.5 month period, they led hundreds and then thousands of people to faith in Jesus. People were healed. People were delivered from addictions. In the 3.5 months after, 700 people were baptized. And they estimate there was 1,700 conversions. And since that time, tens of thousands of people have come to faith in Jesus through the work of the Vineyard around the world. Something similar happened to the Evanston Vineyard where this church was planted out of. At a nice, safe, annual church meeting and potluck. Everybody arranged in nice tables with those old metal folding chairs. Steve Nicholson, my spiritual father, he's been here to preach. You've seen him, you've met him. Got up and said, come Holy Spirit. And the place went berserk. And the Evanston Vineyard has been used ever since to see churches planted around the globe, including this one. God's presence and power falls to anoint his people for service and ministry. We're sitting here as a Vineyard church in many ways because of the empowering work of the Spirit that God sovereignly poured out. Come, Holy Spirit. John Wimber was a church growth expert and later would say it was just simply God breaking in. They were doing everything wrong as a church. They were not doing what he would go around the country advising other churches to do to grow. They were meeting in a school, gymnasium. They were setting up and taking down every week. It wasn't hyped or slick. They were just trying to follow and worship Jesus. Anybody getting nervous? And God's power came. And it wasn't like they planned it. It wasn't like they tried to control it. God's power came. And when a guy that they should probably never, ever have let preach said, come Holy Spirit, God's power came. One of the things you have to understand about the Vineyard is that it was birthed in great brokenness. And that there's something about the Holy Spirit, he's attracted to brokenness and humility. So it was the wrong people doing the wrong things with pure hearts. And there's a scent of brokenness on the Vineyard that's never left us. Part of it is we're committed to serving the very least in our communities and welcoming them as a place at the table. There's just, the Vineyard's never going to be the slickest. We've just got this brokenness. But the scriptures talk about the aroma of brokenness being sweet to God. He's attracted to it. I just think it's simply God using the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And that is certainly true of the Vineyard. So if you're sitting here thinking like, when are we going to get our act together and conquer the world? Well, we're going to do our best. And Jesus rules the world. And we're going to pursue excellence and all those things that we love to do. But it's never going to be slick. It's never going to be slick. We're just a broken people running towards Jesus, always willing to make room for his presence and power. None of this was a strategy. As John Wimber would often say, that the Vineyard was God's idea. I never would have done it. Now, praying this prayer is not one of those traditions that we do simply because something happened in the 1980s or the 1880s. You know, and a trip down memory lane is fun and fine, but we can't live in the past and live off the fumes of 1980. And the good news is we don't have to, and we haven't been. This little prayer, these three little words, come Holy Spirit, yeah, okay, these three little words captures this value and belief and hope that's just sacred and precious to us in the Vineyard, and of course many other Christians, that we who are followers of Jesus can expect the experienced reality of God to be with us, to lead us, and to touch us in the world around us at any time. It just captures this value, and it informs how we get to live. We believe the Spirit is alive and active and present. We believe that the Spirit fills us. We believe that the Spirit empowers us to do the works of Jesus and be like Him, no matter what the world throws at us. It's so key to understanding who we are as a Vineyard family that we expect God's presence and we're always watching for Him to turn up in spaces like this, in life groups, on the streets, where we work, in our homes. We're people of the Spirit who watch for His presence and we invite His presence. That's why at prayer ministry, we pray for one another like we're expecting God to do something right now. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I've had it many times where we find some nice, you know, innocent bystander in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and you know, we're getting in a conversation with them, and they share their heart, and their things are hard, and we're Christians who love Jesus, and we're Vineyard Christians, so what do? We offer to pray for them, and we say, look, would you mind if I prayed for you? And clearly in their mind, in their context, that means when I go to home tonight and lay my head down on my pillow, I'll send a nice little safe, quiet prayer up to heaven on their behalf. And so they say, sure, that would be so lovely if you did that. And what I mean is I want to pray for you right now. And when it becomes clear to them, they look like sick, like the color drains from their face and they realize, oh my word, he's going to do this now. And I feel a little bit sick because I got to do this now. But we do it. We lay hands, we pray. And oftentimes we see God's presence and power come. And we pray, come Holy Spirit, because this is our value. This is who we are. And we multiply that out, not just, you know, roving the streets, you know, but just in every situation we find ourselves in, we pray this prayer. We never get tired of saying, come, Holy Spirit, have your way in me and through me and all around me. Now, can we really pray this? Is it legal to pray this? The objections I've had kind of fall into three main categories. First is, isn't God present everywhere by His Spirit all the time? Don't you believe that? You're talking to Him, like, and telling Him to come like He's not here. But we think He's here. Aren't you incorrect? Where did you think that He went? Right? Second objection is, who do you Vineyard people think you are? You're commanding the Holy Spirit to show up when you want Him to. You're calling Him like a pet or something like that. You can't do that. That's offensive. Who do you think you are? Well, the first thing I would say is, when we pray, come Holy Spirit, we're not saying He's not already here. We're actually acknowledging that He is here. And we're acknowledging our need of Him, which in my opinion is way more honoring of Him than ignoring Him completely and pretending like He isn't here. Or getting offended when He does show up. In the teaching of the Bible, God is both infinite and personal. He's infinite in that He is not subject to any limitations of humanity or of creation in general. He's far greater than anything He's made, far greater than anything that exists. But He's also personal. He interacts with us as a person, and we can relate to Him as persons. We can pray to Him, worship Him, obey Him, and love Him. And He can speak to us, rejoice in us, and love us. The Holy Spirit, in Paul's writings, was always thought of in terms of the personal presence of God. The Spirit is God's way of being present. Whatever else the Holy Spirit was for the Apostle Paul, he was always an experienced reality. He's an experienced reality, and we aren't commanding Him, demanding that He come. It's actually we're inviting Him to take the place of honor. If I came up to you after church and invited you to my house to a barbecue, I could say, come to my barbecue, and it would be like a command, and you'd be like, no, like, that's weird. But I could also say, come to my barbecue. Same words. It would just be a lot different. You know, I would say to you, please come. It wouldn't be the same without you. In fact, we don't even want to be there unless you're going to be there. You would be the honored guest. Would you please come? And if I call at your door today, you're probably going to say, go away. Or no, you're probably going to say, come in. Right? You're going to say, come in. And you would mean it as you're acknowledging me and you're welcoming me into your space. So when we pray, come Holy Spirit, we don't think he isn't present in and with us already. And we're not commanding him to do what we want whenever we want it. In fact, it's the opposite. We're making room, a deliberate way of giving him honor and space to do what he wants to do. We're giving him control. We're saying, it's yours. It's all yours. Come, Holy Spirit. We can't do this without you. You are the gift that Jesus promises us. Come and do what only you can do. That's why we're here. Heal us, convict us, empower us. Pour out the love of God upon us. Send us. Unite us as a family together. Come, Holy Spirit, do whatever you wish. It's an acknowledgement of our need for God in that present moment. The third objection or question I often get is, what happens if he does show up? Do we even want that? Wouldn't that be really messy? I don't want to fall over. Well, I don't either. Wouldn't it mess things up? That story, that sounds really wild. Well, I guess I would say a few things to that. I would say, firstly, we have to remember that he's a gift to us. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit coming, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to us as a gift. And we saw that in Luke chapter 4. Whoops, I put the wrong scripture up there, so just ignore those verses. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, says, wait, do nothing until you receive the Holy Spirit. I am sending him to you. Jesus likes the Holy Spirit an awful lot. We should probably get on his team. And I've said before, lots of times, we want to send him back. Will he mess things up? Well, it depends on what we mean by mess things up. If we're following Jesus and thinking that it's supposed to be a cushy ride, then we're probably going to see it, as he's going to screw everything up. But if we're following Jesus and longing for more of his presence and power and longing to play our part in his great story, it's what we've been waiting for. If we read the book of Acts, it was messy, it was hard, it was inconvenient, it was scary, but the church grew radically. Supernatural things happened. Two normal people, many thousands began following Jesus. This thing called the church was born. Ordinary men and women were sent out to do extraordinary things. Many suffered, but Jesus was made known in all the earth. And ordinary men and women, just like you and me, felt that it was the greatest honor of their lives and a compelling, urgent priority to serve Jesus and to love Jesus and to witness to Jesus and suffer for Jesus and even die if necessary. What if he's still doing that today? Sending and saving and empowering ordinary people like you and like me to do extraordinary things. To endure extraordinary things and to play significant parts in seeing his name made great in these lands and around the world again. I was reflecting on my personal story. I ride the glider a lot. And I was riding the glider this week. You know you ride the glider too much when you're driving your own personal car and you see people waiting at a glider stop or a bus stop and you begin to indicate to pull over, which I have done. Because I've been thinking about something else and thinking I need to pick people up because I'm on the... No, actually, I'm driving my own car. So I'm on the glider this week, and I'm gliding through Belfast. And I am just... It just hit me like... The great secular prophet David Byrne said one day, how did I get here? And that's just like, how on earth did I get into... How did I get here? I'm riding a glider through Belfast. I'm from a tiny town in the Midwest of America. How did this happen? Like, I wasn't cross. I like it here, but I was just like, how did this happen? Well, the truth is the Holy Spirit. He totally messed up my life. But why would we want anything else than the experienced, living presence of God in us and around us, leading us, changing us, transforming us, healing us, empowering us, drawing us ever closer to the love of God in Jesus for us, and helping us live well in the kingdom of God forever. And then seeing that happen multiplied in the lives around us, to see God's kingdom come in the lives and locations all around us, to see our lives count for a cause that will last for eternity. What else would we want? So I say, come Holy Spirit, mess it all up. Some people lately, you've been telling me you're bored. Others, you've told other people that you're bored, and they've told me, so they've like grassed you up. If you're bored, just pray, come Holy Spirit, every day for a month, and watch, and you won't be bored again. You soon will have all you can handle. You might be a lot of other things, but you won't be bored. So please pray this. What if we all began to invite the Holy Spirit into every situation we face, in the hope and expectation that he intervenes in our lives and in our situations? Again, don't hear me wrong. I don't mean that it's his job to give us an amazing life. He gets to choose what happens. Did you notice when John was talking, people, beautiful, wonderful Christians, probably been praying for revival their whole lives. When the Holy Spirit comes, they grabbed their Bible and ran out. John Wimber thought his church was ruined. He gets to choose what happens. It's our job to respond to that. He may not remove you from the difficulty and the trial that you are facing that is causing you to pray, come Holy Spirit. He may choose to strengthen you to endure that and to lead in that and to bring life all around you in the midst of suffering and great trial. He may choose to heal. He may choose to break in. He may choose to empower. It's up to him. I'm simply asking, what are you facing right now that wouldn't benefit from more of the power of the Holy Spirit on it? Do we have all we need? What if we prayed, come Holy Spirit, over our marriages? You know, if you're married for any length of time, you know that it is wonderful, but you also have these areas of just old fights and old patterns that you just wish weren't there. And you let your beloved spouse down again. Or you didn't deliver again. And what if the power of the Holy Spirit came upon those moments? What would that do to our marriages? What would it do for our children if you look out across your children's lives, particularly if teenagers, and you look at the world they're growing up in, and you look at your abilities, and you look at everything, and all you can really do is pray, come Holy Spirit. You look at our communities that we live in. We look at our workplaces and the people that we work with and love. We look at complex problems that we all face. We all have the moments where we don't know if we're going to make it, and we don't know what to do. And what if when we looked at our city and our kids and our loved ones and our marriages and the intense brokenness that is in this city all around us, and when we've done all we can and we feel powerless and weak and we realize if God doesn't do something, we are absolutely sunk here. We've encountered our limits. What if we began to pray, come Holy Spirit? What if we invited him to do something? Will you pray this prayer? Will you pray it every day? Will you pray it over anxiety? Will you pray it over fear? Will you pray it over shame? Will you pray it over challenge? Will you pray it over the patterns of sin that you want free from? Come, Holy Spirit. We pray, come, Holy Spirit, because we need the power of God in our lives to do the works that Jesus did. The Holy Spirit is whom we get the power to obey and follow Jesus. We need his presence, and we were made to carry his power, but not just for things like healing, not just for things like prophecy, not just for the big ticket items like that, We need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to love Jesus more and more, to obey him, to resist the enemy, to resist the broken patterns that we find ourselves caught in. We need his power to love the unlovable. We need his power to love ourselves. We need his power to experience the mercy and love of God for us, to change, to give, to become like Jesus to such a degree that other people even notice. We need the Holy Spirit for everything. The good news is we have him, and we can have more and more of him. And so why on earth wouldn't we pray, come Holy Spirit? So why don't you stand, and we're going to pray. And again, you know the rules when we do ministry times here. I don't care what happens to you during the ministry time. I care about what happens after the ministry time. So I don't care if you fall down. I don't care if you stand up. When you pray for me, it's like praying for the wall. So like it doesn't really impress me to do anything or nothing. Okay? We just simply are saying, come Holy Spirit. So everybody can relax. Nobody's going to make you do anything. I'm not trying to recreate Mother's Day 1980. It's not even Mother's Day. So don't worry. We're just going to pray, come Holy Spirit, and invite his presence. And if you want more of them, just agree with the prayer. And we're going to leave a little bit of space. It'll be still. There might be some children making some noise. That's okay. It doesn't bother me. Shouldn't bother us. We're just going to be still. It'll be the stillest some of us have been in months. We can have this as a body of believers together as a family. We can have this on our own. We can invite the Holy Spirit into everything and everywhere. Sheena prayed, come Holy Spirit, during worship. That wasn't planned. That just happened. She mentioned dryness. Wherever we're dry, wherever we need more, I'm going to pray, come Holy Spirit, and invite him to come and do more. And if he does a bunch of stuff around the room, wonderful. I guarantee you he will do a bunch of stuff around the room. It just may not look like it's ever looked before, and that's fine. We're not running on the fumes of 1980. We're right here live, 2019, believing that God is for us, that he's with us, and we can know him and make him known. So Holy Spirit, would you please come? We honor your presence. You are the honored guest. I and we just give you control. This is your church. We are your people. We just want to be your people and do what you have for us. So come and touch. Would you come and heal? Would you come and raise up evangelists? Would you come put us on mission? For those who are dry, come Holy Spirit, come right into the barren place. Restore our first love. Awaken passion. We're just gonna wait for a moment. Don't worry, it won't be long. It's gonna be fine. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord, more. For some of us, he's just going to a really deep place of pain and where we've been stretched to the breaking point, and he's like healing that and putting us slowly back together. Others of us, he's just really strengthening. Others of you are caught off guard by he came close really quick, and you just weren't bargaining for that this morning. You were going to turn up and smile and do the church thing. But he's here for you. Others of you are deeply hungering for a great move of God. And you've even prayed prayers like I've prayed, like, before I die, I want to see this with my real eyes. I don't want to read about it in books anymore. I don't want to hear about it from our elders anymore. I want to be part of it in my day. So come, Holy Spirit, and empower your church to the place where we'll sacrifice, we'll give, we'll go, we'll do it. We're hungry enough. Come, Holy Spirit. Visit us again, Lord. So, Lord, around the room, would you heal hearts? Would you heal bodies? Wherever we need a breakthrough, we pray, Holy Spirit, come, come, come. Mobilize us for mission. Heal our hearts and release us by your great power.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.